All right, you guys, I want to talk to you today about the heart of a winner. The heart of a winner, and I believe we've all got it. And I'll tell you this about a winner. And the Bible says this about Samuel. In 1 Samuel, it says, Samuel, your gentleness has made you great. Your gentleness has made you great. Now, in the heart of every winner. Now, my cousin married one of the Oakland A's. Richard Christensen. And so he told me I married them, over at Santa Barbara out there in that pretty little gazebo there that Best Parker Inn at the time. And so I said, Ryan, how did you become a pro ball player? And he says, I always was. I just always was. He said, from the time I was a little boy, I knew there was something different in me. And I knew I was going to be able to hit that ball. And so he played it all along. Now, not everybody does their dream and have their vision all laid out before them from the time they were a child, but Ryan did. And so he did become a pro ball player. Now he's older and he's a coach. But anyway, there is something different on the inside of you when you're a winner. And yet, when I meet older people sometime and even do their funeral services, I see that they never reached that, or they felt embarrassed that if they told somebody of this greatness that they felt was on the inside of them, that they would be embarrassed and ashamed to tell it. So I want to encourage you this morning, when you know there's something great in you and you've already seen some of the things that have happened in you that's made you great, and you've had some success, or just as Ramona is having success in coming out of her shell. You heard that this morning. It was amazing. But I'll tell you, winners are in a class of their own. They're not easily influenced. When they are a winner, usually their mind is set like a flint, and they're very focused. Focused on that goal, or focused that I'm going to accomplish. And so when they focus, then that's all really that they think about. And yet you have to do life, you know. You go through life doing things. And not only are they not easily influenced by others that say that's not going to work, or you don't need to do that, or you're just wasting time, but neither are they copycats. They don't copy what everybody else is doing. And that's where I think that not just churches or pastors, but a lot of people get off just doing what everybody else is doing. And so when we begin to copycat, then we're not an original. And yet we have such great things, winning things on the inside of us. So when our eyes, like these winners, whether they're running a race or ball players or school teachers, Adriana, you had to go through all those years of school to get where you are right now. Sarah, you went through all those years to become that therapist. And so there's things that you've trained for. You grew up in a home. Greg, you grew up with your daddy being a great builder. And so you just went along with that. Sometimes you follow after their footsteps. Sometimes children don't. And that's okay if they don't. Because the Bible said raise them up in the way that they should go, not the way you ought to go. I remember reading or hearing a testimony, I believe it was on the 700 Club, and this man was there, and he said, my entire life, he said, my dad was a dentist, my grandfather was a dentist, and he said, all my life I had heard them say, when I'm dead and gone, you'll have my office, or maybe before I'm gone, you can have my office, and I'll make sure, and I'll send you to school, I'll pay for everything, and you can become a dentist. And the boy said, I never had that in my heart. I really never wanted to be a dentist. But I did want to disappoint them. He said, I knew how much they wanted me to become a dentist. And so he said, I did. I went through school. What did I do? I became a dentist. Even bought my own office. Didn't even go to his. But he said, I hated it. He said, every day, I hated to get up and go to work. I didn't like it. I didn't want any part of it. And he said, one day I was talking to a man in the chair, and we became friends, and he said he was a professional. And he said, you know, you're a good dentist. He said, well, thank you for that, but I'm going to tell you because you've become a friend, but I don't like it. I don't like what I do. I don't like this profession. What? No, I don't like it at all. I do it because I trained to do it. It's good money. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I wanted to go into law. I wanted to be an attorney. He said, then I suggest you stop and go to school to be an attorney. You get yourself where you need to be. Yeah, but how about mom and dad? Mom and dad live their own life. Daddy wanted to be a dentist. You don't. So now you go do it. And you know what? He became one of the most successful men there in his state. I forget what state he was in. But he became a very successful attorney there in his state, one of the biggest. But you know what? He went after the truth that was in his heart. The truth was, you don't belong here. This is where you belong. And he knew there was some greatness on the inside of him. Now, truth is truth. And you guys, you know this. There's just not a lot of truth in the world today, especially absolute truth. You know, people ask you about absolute. There's hardly any absolutes. Truth. Well, let's go a bit farther. I've always said this about Pentecost. I said this since I was a young girl. Pentecost is more than an organization. I was raised in the Pentecostal Church of God organization. But as I got older, I found out that Pentecost was a person. His name was the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what truth is. Truth is more than just a part of the culture or church culture or what we do. Truth is a person. Truth is the Lord Jesus himself. He said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and that's it. And I came to seek and save that which is lost. And so it doesn't take us, it doesn't cost us anything, and we don't have to keep searching and searching and searching and searching to find the truth. Why? Because Jesus is looking for us. Jesus is the truth. He said, I came out to seek and save that which was lost. So then he said, I am the truth. And if you know what? If you know the truth will make you free. But he said, if you know it, you've got to know the truth. And so that's why you all are sitting here. That's why I'm standing here, because we've been freed by the truth, because we know the truth and we got through. We got through because truth is a literal person. All right, let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3:12, look. Not, Paul is speaking here, not that I have already attained. He said, I'm not telling you guys I have arrived. You know, I'm the best around. Or I'm already perfected. But, he says this, I press on that I may lay hold of that. Somebody say, lay hold of that. For which Christ has also laid hold of me. You say, what? What in the world does that mean? Paul said, I am laying hold of that. That what? That thing that God laid hold of us for. See, one day God laid hold of you. And he says, this is your purpose. And this is what I want you to do. And Paul said, so when I found that purpose, man, I laid hold of that thing. I laid hold of that which God laid hold of me for. And he said, I'm not saying I'm perfect or that I have arrived. I'm just saying I laid hold on something. What was that? Oh, the truth of God. He said, I laid hold on it. And let's read on, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He says it again. And he's just so humble. I'm not saying I know it all and I've apprehended. But the one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. Whew. You think you are bad? And you think you've got this horrendous past? And you think your mistakes and your errors and all the terrible things you've done and hurt, you think that was bad? Paul murdered Christians. I mean, I just read it yesterday. Poor little Stephen was a mighty man of God. And he stood there and he preached the gospel. And they were throwing stones at him. And it says that these soldiers laid their coats at Saul's feet. Laid their coats at Saul's feet while they stoned Stephen to death. So he had a lot of shame and guilt that the man of God could have carried. Now we're talking about Paul, not Saul. His name was changed to Paul. So if anyone could have had shame for his filth and his dirt and all the things he wished he hadn't done. But he was doing those things under a different influence. He didn't know what spirit he was of. He was of a satanic influence. But now that he found the Lord, and now that he knew the truth, him, Jesus, had made him free. So he said, no, I haven't apprehended. But the one thing I do, I forget those things. Now look, if Paul could forget what a murderer he was, don't you all think that we could forget the things that shame us and the way the devil points his finger and says, you no good bum. Look what you did. Look what you said. Don't you remember? Well, God doesn't. Why should you? Because you have been sanctified. So he said, I just forget those things that are behind me and I reach forward. So look at verse 14. I press. That means I push. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. See, God's call is an upward call. It doesn't just stay still. It's an upward call. And Paul said, I just reach forward and I go for the upward call. There's a prize there waiting for me. And God has crowned me. And we could go into the crowns, and a crown in the Bible means a reward. And God says, I have given you many crowns. And you know what? There's one crown we're going to get just for believing that Jesus is returning soon. We're going to get a crown just for that. Just because we believe the Lord is coming back. Isn't that amazing? But these crowns, see, he has crowned our hearts. And in Psalms 23, he says, surely goodness and truth shall follow me all the days of my life. Sarah and Dee, come here, please. Come on, Adriana. Come on, Renee. Come on. All right, you girls stay right there, though, first. Okay, this is goodness and Sarah's mercy. Okay, so here I am. I'm loving Jesus. I've met the truth. And now, stay close to me. Everywhere I go, I got mercy. And I've got truth. Because he has crowned me. I'm crowned in my heart. Oh, man, do I need these girls. I need mercy. See, he said, since I've given it to you, you can have mercy on people. Oh, no, she's a dirty dog. Look how she treated me. Oh, no, I got mercy, baby. I got mercy. Anna, was it goodness and mercy? Oh, wrong. Okay, but I got goodness, too. I've got a way to be good when I don't want to be good. Sometimes you just don't want to be good to that. Y'all stay close because I'm going to need you. Come on. So I have goodness and mercy. And you know how long they're going to follow me? How many? All the days of my life. As long as, thank you, goodness and mercy. Woo! Oh, look at these two. I love these two beautiful. And then God says in Psalms 103, I know we're kind of jumping off, chasing rabbits. But one day I told Portia, Portia said after church, she said, you know, Pastor, that was a good message. I think she's the only one that said it. And I said, well, probably Lyndall, because Lyndall always said that. So I said, Portia, are you sure? I said, I just felt like I chased rabbits all day. She said, we can follow rabbit trails. She said, just chase them. We'll go with you. It's one of the greatest things I was ever told, Portia. It relaxed me. So now there's a rabbit trail. But look, y'all are with me. So Psalms 103 said this, that he has crowned me. I mean, crowned me. Fit a crown just for my head and your head and your head. And some of us have big old heads and some have little heads. And he said, but I've crowned you with loving kindness Look at this loving kindness following. Oh, I forgot one. Oh, no, you're with me. Loving kindness and tender mercies. See, I already had mercy, but he said, now I got tender mercies. And I've crowned you with them. So now that I'm crowned with tender mercies and loving kindness. Loving kindness is kin to goodness. So see, there's no reason for there to be church splits over people acting up. So you just don't allow it. Told somebody the other day, he said, I'd like to come back to church, but I'm afraid people point fingers at me. I said, no, we're not finger pointers. I didn't even know I was going to preach this today. Because we got tender mercies and loving kindness. Loving kindness and tender mercies. And goodness and mercy. So no, we're not going to point fingers at you. Get over here with us. And I said, besides that, you know, we've been here 26 years and I haven't changed much. We still don't put up with much. So, but we've got tender mercies all of our days. Thank you, tender mercy and loving kindness. So see that just, and when our hearts are crowned, I think we've got big hearts. I think our hearts are big. I'm going somewhere. Just stay right here with me. Let's finish reading that. Oh, he said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Jesus. See, so, and then he goes, therefore, let us, as many are as mature, have this mind. We have this mind and this heart. Hallelujah. Now, while we were at the beach, we do a yearly trip to the beach, and we were so blessed. And so that night I went to bed, and I spent a lot of time with the babies when I'm there. We all had fun together. But when I went in my room, there was a list of movies they had. And so I was on vacation. I'm not a movie watcher. I just can't hardly sit there for 2 hours and watch a movie. And when it starts, I just want it to start off telling me what everything's about. And if you're there, I'm just going to ask you all kinds of questions so no one ever wants to watch a movie with me. But anyway, I saw a movie that I had seen before, and I hadn't seen it again, and I'd always wanted to see it again. And it's an older one, and you'll probably laugh, but it was called Secretariat. Woo! Secretariat, the most beautiful, thoroughbred, chestnut stallion you'd ever see. The most beautiful horse. And it was about horse racing. And I know I was raised in churches. We don't do horse racing. And so I, you know, and I've been to Las Vegas a lot of times, Sarah and I, and man, we tour those beautiful hotels and tour the hotels and go to the gospel brunch and go down to International Church. My favorite, just we always had fun, never dropped a penny, but man, we just were blessed to get to go. Stay and we'd tour those great hotels and stay at a different one. And I don't know where I was going with that, but while I was there, oh, yeah. You watch that Secretariat. And I'm telling you, here's the deal. See, I come off the ranch, too. My husband was a cattle rancher. And so I'd watch him with all those horses. We had about 8 horses of our own, and we loved them all. And then had all the cows. So we loved the horses. And after dinner, we would saddle up the horses and take the girls, and we'd go riding around the ranch. And so what fascinated me with this ranch is the dad dies. Okay, so Papa died, and the girl, he had 2 children, a girl and a boy, and the girl lived in town, and the guy, he was on Wall Street, so he wasn't really into ranches, okay, and horses and stuff. But the girl, she always hung close to Daddy at the ranch growing up. She always wanted to be where he was. Do y'all mind if I tell you about the movie? I just hate it when people tell me about movies, because not only do I not want to watch them, I don't want to hear you tell me all about it, because I'll get lost. So if you don't mind, I'll tell you this real quick. So the dad dies, and because the girl knew the animals, okay, she knew the horses. She knew about them. She knew which ones was worth something and those that weren't. Well, her brother, just like sometimes when a parent dies, especially if they have a big inheritance, here comes all the kids. And even if they have nothing, here comes all the kids. And the kids want this, want that, and act like that they were the best kid ever. And they never even came to see him. Okay, so that was this boy. He never went, but this girl named Penny, she was always there. So she knew the animals. Well, she found out that her brother had made a deal with one of the other horse ranchers, and he was going to sell the best horse. And it was this horse named Secretariat, which wasn't born yet. It was his mother. Okay, so he was going to sell him for pennies. And when she found out, she said, no, you're not selling him. So he says, well, I already went to the foreman. Ranch foreman said, I could sell this horse for that. And this horse has this, this, and this. And she went to the manager of the ranch, the foreman, and she goes, you're done. You're fired out. And so she just fired him. You can't do that. This ranch is none of your business. You don't know a thing about it. She says, don't you ever tell me this ranch is not my business. All of it's my business. All of it. Why? Because she was a winner, and she knew that horse was a winner, and she knew its baby was going to be a winner. And the horse was pregnant. Well, I better look at this or I'll get lost. So, Secretariat, I'm trying to go off all that memory, but listen, watch this movie. Would you watch it? Try to get it. I don't know where you'd get it. It's probably so old. I don't even know where you get it. But anyway, it's just called Secretariat. And he was a Triple Crown winner. There were three races. There was the Kentucky Derby. That's the one most of us are familiar with that we hear about. The Kentucky Derby, and then a few weeks later was the Preakness Stakes. And a few weeks later was the Belmont Stakes. And this horse was a three-year-old thoroughbred, known also as Big Red. And that horse, Big Red, won all three of those races. And in those first two races, right out of the gate, he would always start out slow, just as if he knew what to do. And he would start out slow, like a lot of you young men who have ran races at school and you've been an athlete there. Well, he would start out, and then he would just take off. And so he won all three races. In 25 years, he was the only horse that ever won all three races. It was pretty amazing. So when the old dad was dying, he didn't know this happened. But when he was dying, he said to his daughter, daughter, you run your race. The father, hear it in your spirit, the father said to the daughter, daughter, you run your race. And I'm telling you the words of your father this morning is this. You run your race because nobody else can run it for you and nobody else can run it like you run it. No one. And so she had to get rid of the foreman, talks her brother into, you know, sharing. I know she got him cut out. You can watch it and see. But finally this colt was born and she was in the big city. And they called her and said, the colt is coming. Well, she ran out there, and this colt, when it was born, Secretariat was born. I think actually the secretary named it, or the housekeeper. And this little colt stood up very strong, I mean, immediately after its birth. They knew there was something different about that little horse. And she hired the trainer. She hired one of the best trainers in America. They said, he's the best. You got to get this guy. She got him, and she got this jockey, and she goes, he's the best. There, he's the best. So she gets them both and brings them in. And so she says to this jock, he's beginning to train, and she says, now, I'll tell you what Secretariat's going to do. He's going to start out slow out of the gate, and then he's going to move on, and he'll start running. But she says, I don't want you beating him. He said, lady, do you know how many of these races I've done? I'm asking you to back out and let me do my job. Then she says, you're going to have to back out because I'm telling you this is how I'm going to run this race. She knew her race. So she wasn't going to be influenced and she wasn't going to be a copycat the way everybody else had done it. And she said, and I know something else about you, Jock. She said, the last horse you raced, you ran him so hard that his heart exploded within him. His heart exploded. She didn't listen to him. But But her little caretaker, the one that took care of the horse, you'll see him in a minute. He had a little brown hat on, but he knew that secretariat. There was something special in him, and he knew that woman knew what she was talking about because she had learned from the best with her dad. She had learned from her father. That little caretaker said this to her. He says, I took notes on that whole movie that night. I could have probably enjoyed it more if I wasn't taking notes. But he said, you are getting ready to see something that you have never seen before. And I tell you from heaven today, church, we are getting ready to see something that we have never seen before. There's something in the house that God has put within his people on this earth. Now she says, in all the races, he started behind, but let him run. The Belmont race was 1.5 miles long. It was the longest race. Let me see. I want to be right here when I show this to you. She said, you ran that horse so hard, his heart burst. And so she said, I'm just telling you, you can back out now. If you feel like you got to beat him to make him go, I'm going to tell you to do to him what my daddy said to me. She said, my daddy told me to run my race. And I'm telling you, you just let Secretariat run. Just let him run his race. He knows how to do it. You stay on him. You can say, giddy up. She probably didn't say that. But just whatever you got to say to him, but I don't want you beating him. And so this was the longest race. And so the lady said, here's another thing I want you to do. And they thought she was a loony too. She said, before the Belmont, he's already had these other two races, and he won them. He worked hard. He won. I want you to rest him. That guy walked away, the trainer, and he said, that woman is so arrogant. And she said, I'm just telling you, I want you to rest this horse. Now, you can run him out on the track because they do have to get their running exercise. But you're not going to run him hard because most of the trainers would get them out there and the old jock would just run them hard around that track. I don't want you to do that. She said, now you can run him and run him fast. Get his exercise every day or every morning, however often they did it. Do that. But you rest him before the race. And the other horses, listen to this, the other horses were faster. They were more beautiful. And the critic said, it's absolutely impossible for that horse to win a race by not being exercised and not being pushed. You may think that there's something in your life you've got to push, 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 push. But I think you'd be better off, church. I've learned over time in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, it says, there's laid up therefore a rest to the people of God. And if we can learn just to enter into that rest, keep your exercises going, and the spiritual exercise is the word, of course, and prayer. Keep all that going, but just enter into that rest. This guy says, it's going to be impossible. The horse will never win the race if he's not pushed and if he's not exercised. Well, I want to show you this little clip. If Kathy can get it on, David, pull those lights real down real quick, and then we'll finish up. What do you think about that? Was that awesome? And here's the deal. That horse was born in 1970 and won the race in 1973. Three-year-old thoroughbred. And here's the thing. They said the secret to the success of this horse race with Secretariat was the size of his heart. His heart was twice the size of the other horses. Y'all better stand with me. Twice the size of the other horses. And I'm going to read to you out of Hebrews 12:1. And did you see goodness and mercy and loving kindness and tender mercies? Mercy and truth following me? That makes our heart twice as big as the others around us. Twice as big as the world has. That's why we have winner's hearts, you guys. That's why we go through the stuff that we shouldn't be able to get through. That's why you just go through stuff with your head up and your shoulders back. And a spring in your step and you're like, we can do this. And yet it hurts. Here we are. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run. Let us run. Let us run the race that is set before us. Every one of us have a race. We've ran this old race, man. We've ran. There's race after race after race. Sometimes it's more difficult. Sometimes there's rewards. Sometimes the race is so good. Sometimes you just wonder what you're going to do. But it's a race. And he said, so let us race. Let us run this race with endurance. At the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Who is what? He's the truth. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For who the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He hated that shame. And he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did he endure the shame? And why did he endure that cross, horribly stripped naked on that cross in front of everybody? He did that for you and me, to give us these huge winning hearts that we have. And folks, he wants us to be just like him. And we don't have one of those jocks or one of those trainers. This is our trainer. Jesus is our trainer. But he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't write us. He is in us. And he's leading us and he guides us and he helps us. And I'm just telling you, without him, we are not going to make it in this race, in this world today, because it's crazy. And if we can teach our children anything, it's teach them the truth and teach them to hold and endure and be filled with the Spirit. How many of you lift your hand and say, Pastor, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost? Okay, Father, not only must we have the Holy Spirit, but we must have the fire. You said, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Fill us with that fire, the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, we praise you for that fire. We praise you for the wind. And Father, we've been sanctified, but Lord, we need that power. We need that strength. We need the strength and the power to endure. We've got to have that same mind that is in you. It's in us. That same mercy and goodness and truth. Lord, we praise you. Come on, just go ahead and lift up both hands and say, Holy Spirit, come to me. Jesus is the baptizer. Listen, we're bringing our new baptismal pool in. We're going to baptize those that need to be baptized. The teachers, I'm telling you, talk to those children. If they've not been baptized, get them baptized. If you've not been baptized, I don't care how old you are, let's get you baptized. And then the Holy Spirit's going to baptize you with his fire. Amen. So, Father, I praise you. Come on, lift your hands and say, I receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive you, Holy Spirit. We've got to have your power. Come on, if you pray in tongues, go ahead and begin to pray. I don't know what you're praying, but right now it doesn't need an interpretation. We are praying right now in the Spirit. Yes, Alabaha. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Yes, Lord. My God, our Lord and our God, Shirende, Bohosaha, Boholeleke, Bahasa, Ye, Alabaise. Loose, Lord, loose our tongues, loose our spirits, loose us, Lord. Take away all the shame, all the guilt, the heavy weights that do so easily beset us. Yes, Lord, lift us all up, full of faith, full of glory, full of power. Come on, y'all, join me down here real quick. Come on, sheep, stay together. Come on, come on, just step out of your seat just to do something more. Come on, just make an effort. If I was out there, I'd be down here right now. If I was out here, I'd be here. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Set a fire down in my soul.